As you can tell, Witch, this is incredibly professional.
All right, we're starting. As soon as I turn the volume up for the input.
There's one set for stun.
Hey, and welcome to issue number 49 of The Unique Geek, one away from 50. We'll be eligible to receive, well, nothing really when we get to 50. But anyway, hey, we're going to talk about, you know, the latest in geek news. We'll touch a little bit on Dragon Con, but we'll get that actually later in a special episode, in a very special episode of The Unique Geek. But for right now, sit back, relax, geek out, enjoy. Guys, welcome to issue number 49. We're one away from 50. Everyone excited? I know I am.
I didn't know there was going to be math. Damn.
will we have a die-cut chromium cover for that one?
Yes, we will. It'll be specially made for you, Michael Bailey. Views from the long boxes, Michael Bailey. Michael Bailey, how you doing?
I am doing great. I am just over Dragon Con now, so...
There will be alternate covers for Sterling of New Bards Press, newbardspress.com. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, and I look forward to them.
And there'll be a special extra caffeinated version for Scott of Need Coffee.
There better be, because I need it.
And there'll be a quadruple version of caffeine for Mr. Widge Walls from Need Coffee. Mr. Widge Walls, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm here in my golden age iteration from All Star Shinola, where I made my first appearance.
Wow, I think that may have been the geekiest thing anyone said on this podcast, possibly, or maybe not. Who knows? So, Widge, of course, is from Need Coffee, as we just pointed out. Is it Widge or Widget?
It's either one.
Or Widget.
I've been called worse.
Or Mr. Walls.
Yes. Which is fine.
Which is fine. So you guys, let's go ahead and just start a little bit. There's actually going to be a special edition of The Unique Geek rehashing Dragon Con, since most of our people are still recovering and they can't be on the podcast tonight to discuss their experiences at Dragon Con. But let me say that the Need Coffee guys actually ran several panels. And how was just an overall general statement, how was your experience at this year's Dragon Con, Widge?
Oh, it was quite relaxing, actually, since we didn't have, since we retired our Gonzo Film Fest last year.
Everyone's chagrin.
Yes, well, you know, it was one of those things where you could either try to do the third series of Fawlty Towers or the third series of The Office or whatever else, and you could suck, or you could simply try to go out on a high note, and you could try to, you know, get to Monday still having a voice, which is a fascinating fascinating new experience for me. I haven't had that in 4 years. So
awesome. So also part of your crew is Scott. And Scott, how was your experience?
Quite surprising, since I didn't know certain people were going to be there.
What does that mean?
Well, we Ken Plume and myself, Ken Plume from Quick Stop Entertainment, and I really didn't tell anyone we were going to be there, and we burst into the first Need Coffee panel in disguises. We were both wearing very large and colorful mustaches over our actual mustaches, sunglasses and hats. So it was kind of startling for them, and I pity them not.
Well, why would they think you weren't going to be there?
Because we hadn't told them, and it's amazing that I was actually on the guest list under a pseudonym, although that was a mistake on Dragon Con's part. But so no, I
it wasn't it all intentional.
Well, it was intentional, but it went off a whole lot better because of the unintentional mistakes that Dragon Con made in the scheduling. So all was well, and the looks on their faces was priceless.
Wow. Yes. What about you? What about you, Michael Bailey, of Views from the Long Box?
This was one of those weird cons where I didn't really have that much to do as far as panels were concerned, because of some things that had gone on with the comic track that is probably better said in the Dragon Con episode rather than here.
Okay.
But on a social level, I had a ball. My wife and I ended up actually getting a hotel room with another couple, so we were able to stay a couple nights instead of driving back and forth, which is a pain.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, that's exactly what happened. There was a baby in the room, too.
Ew!
Yeah, hey, you went there. But, you know, getting to meet Shag and Scott C. and Sterling and Serve and Ron and Holly and all them was the definite highlight for me in getting to play Shea Geek, and just generally seeing people that I met at previous cons, which was a first for me at this one. So, a lot of fun. Lost at Marvel versus DC Jeopardy again.
Didn't you win that last year, or?
No, I won the ultimate trivia contest 2 years in a row. I have failed out of the Marvel Jeopardy and Marvel versus DC Jeopardy 4 years in a row. Shag, however, took third place this year.
Nice. Did he win anything?
He won a bunch of stuff. Actually, if you were at that panel and you hung out afterwards, They were giving crap away. I walked out with a near complete run of Ultimates 2 and the back half of Civil War Frontline for nothing.
Oh, so you were the one person that wanted that then? Is that how that worked out?
I was about to say, nothing is about what I would have paid for Civil War, so.
What about you, Sterling, of NewBargePress.com?
Yes, this Dragon Con, I'll talk more about it on our Dragon Con specific, but I had the distinct impression that the hotels were, that we were inconveniencing the hotels most of the weekend. And there was a huge security presence that kind of took the fun out of the con for me over that weekend. But it was good. Some of the panels were really fun. I got to see Jonathan Franks, Brent Spiner, and Case McFadden of Star Trek Next Generation. That was a lot of fun. And I got to see some of the authors and writers of science fiction books, space opera, like David Drake and David Weber and stuff like that. And that was a lot of fun. But overall, it definitely had a different feel from the years before.
Cool. Well, let's get into our normal geek news. And again, you can look for that special episode coming out. We're going to be recording it in a couple of days, and it should be out on the feed by the time that I put it on the feed. It'll probably be like 2010, I think, is when that happens. Oddly, probably sooner than your next weekend Justice there, Widge.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, actually, we're retooling the Weekend Justice because I feel there's not enough justice in the Weekend Justice. So I'm putting that onto the vivisection table and doing horrible things to it.
Speaking of horrible, horrible things, how about a horrible, horrible idea? Ghost Rider gift set is coming out on November 13th. Let me ask, is anybody actually clamoring for a gift set?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I am.
And why would that be, Sterling?
Because I want to be the only one on the planet who owns one.
That's why. It's going to be available for $60. Viewers get a chance to go behind the action with the DVD bonus featurettes.
They're going to give you $60 to take it? Is that what it is? You go to the store and they give you $60 and the gift set?
Let me ask you, what is the appropriate price then, Sterling, for?
For a Ghost Rider gift set?
Yes. The movie, mind you.
Free?
Free.
A dollar?
What? Let me go around
$2? $2.50?
You're going up. What
Something
are you
what, like that?
Stop. You're going up.
Dude, gift set. It's Ghost Rider the movie with Nicolas Cage and that woman with the rack and stuff. That's all she had going. I don't even. Oh my gosh, that movie was so bad.
The fact that it's a gift set. I mean, are we looking at the comic geek equivalent of a fruitcake here? I'm just asking. I mean, will this be passed around from family friend to family friend for the next 10 years?
Never opened.
Exactly.
I'm still just, in the wrapping paper.
Wait. You're saying family friend. No. You pass it on to that aunt that you kind of remember from your childhood, but you really don't, but you really feel obligated to give them something so they don't, like, die and curse you from the grave?
Actually, that would be really hilarious to give that to an aunt. Is can you just imagine them going, oh, look, it's that nice Nicolas Cage. Why is his head on fire? This is horrible.
These are, actually, even your aunt would be going, these are horrible effects. What was I? Why was he giving this?
This is actually the first comic book film that I have not seen in the theater or yet. So that should tell you something, because I go to all of them.
It's probably a good idea to keep it that way. I'm thinking.
That's what I keep hearing.
Your mind is better for it.
In other DVD news, we do have a release date now for the Transformers movie. We talked about this in the past, but we have a couple new people here. What is Widge? What was your thoughts on the original Transformers movie? That came, not the original Transformers movie. Well, maybe the original Transformers movie, but the live action one with Shia LaBeouf.
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was. Basically, you go into that knowing what you're getting into, right? I mean, you've got Michael Bay directing, which means that physics and logic really are sneered at. You can know that going into it. And all you can hope for is a bunch of robots kicking the crap out of each other.
Well,
And
he delivered on that.
Oh, yeah, he delivered on that. So from that standpoint, I thought it delivered. I thought the first two-thirds of the film were pretty good. It's just when you started getting into the whole, cube shrinking and other strange things towards the end, you know, running into the middle of a crowded city so that you can have a battle, that my brain finally kicked back in and said, what are we doing? But otherwise,
destroying a lot of stuff?
Yeah, well, yeah. But no.
I mean you can't destroy buildings in the middle of a desert. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
Oh, I know. I have a very high tolerance in Michael Bay films for things that make no sense. But eventually my brain kind of turns back on. And when it wakes up and, you know, in the last third of a film, it's kind of irritated. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did they go into the city anyway? I mean, I don't even remember. Why did they go to the city originally? They said they needed to get to the fire or the power or the weapons that were there to stop
them? If I remember correctly, they needed to make contact with the rest of the military because the Decepticons had, like, knocked out all communications or something.
And isn't there a really big Air Force base?
Nellis.
Near?
Yeah.
So...
Look,
I know. Yeah. I know.
Robots fighting in an Air Force base does not look as cool as Megatron climbing a building King Kong style.
Well, I don't know, because actually the beginning of that movie was really, really, really kick ass. I mean, the battle scene in the desert was fantastic. And yeah, I think it started to fail after that.
And I can actually see that as the why they did take it to the city. It's like you've seen the battle at the Air Force base already, or the military base. Why would we have that at the beginning and the end when we can tear up a major city and show a lot of destruction?
Yes,
we're talking about Michael Bay here.
Let's bring it to a densely populated area when we could have just been in the middle of the desert where there was no population, no one getting hurt.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, well, and ciliary damage and Michael Bay go hand in hand, really.
Well, the best part, and I said this before, I was one of the three people that was watching, on the lot, and Michael Bay was one of the guest directors that was doing the commentating for that, and he said he actually kept saying, "Well, I don't think you came up with an original premise here." Like, Michael Bay is telling you you don't have an original premise.
Did the other judges kind of step back away from the lightning?
Well, the other judges were who was it? Penny, not Penny Marshall. Well, Penny Marshall was there one time, but her brother.
Oh, a real director.
Her brother, Gary Marshall, right? Yes. And yeah, and the chick who played Leia. What was her name again?
Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher. Carrie Fisher. Oh, that's right.
Boy, did you
I knew who it was. Shut up.
Oh, thank God.
So anyway, the release date for the DVD of Transformers is actually October 16th. So
I'm looking forward to it. I thought it was a really fun summer film. And, you know, like Widget said, you know, he's set out to do something and he succeeded. So on that, you can call the film a success.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
I would agree. It was an enjoyable movie.
What's interesting along those lines is Michael Bay, at the last 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, had said that he wasn't going to do a Transformers 2 because they were releasing the movie only on HD DVD, as well as DVD, but HD DVD and not Blu-ray, and so he got all upset because I don't know, I have no idea why, just maybe to make more money.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't. I don't. Well, anyway,
like the fourth time that he quit Transformers 2 already. I mean, I think he quit Transformers like 8 or 9 times or something.
And no one's really offered it to him, which is the funny part. But anyway, he actually wrote on his blog post. Last night at dinner, I was having dinner. That's novel, by the way, Michael. Last night at dinner, I was having dinner with 3 Blu-ray owners. They were pissed about no Transformers Blu-ray, and I drank the Kool-Aid, hook, line, and sinker. So at 1:30 in the morning, I posted nothing good ever comes out, and nothing good comes out of early AM posts, mind you. I overreacted. I heard that Paramount is coming from. I heard where Paramount is coming from, and by the way, I'm not drunk. He was. And the future of HD players will be close to $200 mark, which is a magic number. I like what I heard. As a director, I'm all about people seeing films in the best quality possible. And I saw and heard firsthand people upset about a corporate decision. So today I saw 300 in HD DVD, and it rocked. So I think I might be back to do Transformers 2.
Wow.
Anyway.
That's amazing.
Yes, he's an amazing, amazing gentleman.
From the man that brought you from McKenna.
Yeah, if only he had quit Pearl Harbor. I mean, that would have been a boon for mankind right there.
Shia LaBeouf, who was in Transformers. Hey, look, I've got like a theme going here. It's like a stream of consciousness. Is supposedly going to be in Why the Next Man? The Last Man.
Next Man will be the sequel.
By the way, I just finished the first trade paperback for Why the Last Man. Now, I don't get why Shia LaBeouf is and I actually like Shia LaBeouf, and I've liked him in pretty much everything he's done, but I don't get him as Yorick for, you know, the lead male for Why the Last Man. Anybody else?
I can kind of see matter. I can kind of see it from the standpoint of, I mean, I don't know him from anything other than Transformers. And so I'm a little bit confused as to how he's suddenly become It Boy all of a sudden. What with, you know, based on, I guess, Disturbia, and now he's going to be Indy Jr. and whatever else. So that's a bit confusing. But
and that's the reason why he's in this film, Why the Last Man, because he is the It Boy.
Yeah.
For this time.
But, yeah, I think, but you know, based on, because I've been keeping up with Why since it came out, and I think it's actually really good. It's not going to make a good standalone film, since last I heard they were trying to figure out how to end it in this film, which, you know, I don't know how you do that with as long a series as it's been, but you know, I could see him actually doing it just based on the character that he provided in Transformers, because Yorick's kind of a goofball. He's the last person that you would expect to, you know, survive the apocalypse, so to speak.
Let's see what we got. So, what about What about you? Scott. Sorry, I got lost there.
I'm
trying to do 600 things.
I'm less convinced, frankly, because I just find them incredibly irritating.
So have you liked anything he's done? Have you watched anything he's done?
I've seen I saw, like I said, Transformers, and I'm trying to think if I have seen him in anything else. Wow, I think Transformers is it.
What about Holes? Did you see Holes at all?
No, I missed that.
there is a joke there.
I'd say nothing.
There was the Project Greenlight project he was in. What was the name of that movie? Which actually wasn't a half bad movie, as it turned out. With Amy Smart.
I know the one you're talking about. I can't think of the title.
Oh God, it's something Street or something. Something Heights. No. Battle for Shaker Heights. Right? Am I correct?
It's Shaker Heights.
Is it just Shaker Heights? It's not Battle for Shaker Heights.
Battle for Shaker Heights. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And actually,
if only we were on the internet, and we could look it up.
Oh yes. If only we had this. Oh wait, there is that thing. Yeah. It actually wasn't a horrible movie. In the parlance of Need Coffee, it was probably a rental.
Wow. We're known for the word rental. Sweet.
Blockbuster owes you lots of money.
Yeah, I know. We're suing tomorrow.
Speaking of people suing, did you check out that NBC has decided to leave? Hello, dog. Has decided to leave iTunes. What the heck is going on here?
Money.
Money.
Well, it's money.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the universal.
They actually want to charge $5 for an episode of The Office. Now, I like the American version of The Office, but I'm not going to pay $5 an episode for the American version.
Sense. How much is the DVD for an entire season?
Exactly.
Wow, that's like over 100. That's over 100 bucks a season.
Yeah. Next thing you know, they're going to be charging $10 just to get a ticket in to see a movie.
Yeah, because people keep going to crappy ass movies.
Yeah,
they're able to do it.
Someone's a little upset.
Come on, don't you want
something
to
got up his craw?
The fun of the 20. Come on, the 20 makes it all worth it.
You attend the Dollar Theater right there, Sterling?
Sometimes I do.
Even that is too much money.
No, that's not true. It just depends on if it's worth seeing, you know, at a dollar, or I can wait and watch it at a dollar, or do I want to really see it at the good theater, quote unquote.
Sometimes he just drives by the Dollar Theater and spits out the window at it.
Yes, and I throw soda and popcorn at it too.
What about coming out this week? We have Shoot 'Em Up. Is anyone going to see that?
Yes,
I really want to.
It's Clive Owen and Paul Giamatti as battling hitmen.
Wasn't Owen in the news recently for something horrible?
What?
No, wasn't he the one? He's the one with the nose, right? The broken nose.
Yeah,
Clive Owen.
Yeah.
No. I think you're thinking of Owen Wilson.
There it is. Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be a completely different person.
Oh, yeah.
Ignore me.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, because Owen Wilson is a completely different type of guy. You got to understand. He's the type of guy that just, he sits there and talks and he doesn't say a damn thing.
Be nice. Having a bad week. Be nice.
The man has emotional problems. He can't.
Yeah,
cope with being rich and famous.
He can't show them on film.
Yeah, well, I had emotional problems with the Life Aquatic too, so it's okay.
Let me ask you, Widge. What is your favorite DVD that's come out this year so far?
Oh wow,
that's just out of blue. Put you on the spot.
My favorite DVD. I would say. I would love to mention some Criterion title because I'm a Criterion junkie, but I can't get the Criterion publicity people to send me anything. So he said, throwing in a dig to give him time to think. I would think probably either the Double Disc 300 is pretty tasty. And I must admit, what I've watched so far of Heroes is pretty good because I don't watch television, so I catch this stuff on DVD. So far that's been entertaining.
Well, for Heroes, just go up to the second to last episode, stop there, and don't finish. Then you'll be still satisfied.
I've seen lots of movies and plenty of TV series where, you know, go to this time track and then stop and then make up your own ending, because whatever ending you make up is going to be better than what was in it. So I'll bear that in mind. Thank you for the warning.
You've seen the ending of X-Men 3, right?
Yes. Sadly enough, I did stay for all of that film.
Okay, it was better than the ending of Heroes.
Oh my god.
What?
Oh my god.
John, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's right. You love X-Men 3. I forgot.
X-Men 3 was a good movie.
After a couple viewings, I agree with that totally.
What?
What?
I said after a couple viewings, I agree with that totally. I thought that Ratner and the writers did a completely different version than Singer and company did, but it was still very satisfying as an X-Men film.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, when you've got dialogue so bad that Ian McKellen can't make it sound good, that's pretty sad. Wow. Defending X3. This is awesome.
Oh, man. Okay, so...
Drinking the X Kool-Aid.
So let me ask you something then. Which is better, Superman Returns or X-Men 3 there, Michael Bailey? Let me put you on the spot, Superman apologist Michael Bailey.
Yeah, Superman apologist Michael Bailey. God, I'd actually have to... Oh, man, I can't really commit to one or the other because both had significant amounts of problems, but both had some really good points to them as well. I think, see, the main problem I had with Superman Returns was I had waited 9 years to see this film, and yeah, I didn't get what Tim Burton wanted to do, and I didn't get that crappy J.J. Abrams script, and it wasn't directed by McGee, thank you, God. But at the same time, it was kind of like, I have to agree with Kevin Smith, it was kind of like Star Trek The Motion Pictures, where I get 15 minutes of the Enterprise. You know, that's all it was. It was a lot of pensive Superman, and he really didn't do all that much. So I have to say Superman Returns on a very biased level.
Yeah, if I had to make that choice, could I instead get a pool cue in the ribs instead? I'd be cool with that.
You know, actually, I said this before. I have a copy of Superman Returns. It's still in its wrapper. I've yet to open it.
No, and giant robot spider equals no viewing.
Although, you
that's
know,
your criteria.
Well, you know, that's the Kevin Smith thing with the.
Oh yeah, I know.
Giant
where coming
giant spider, which actually, which in hindsight,
that movie blew.
In hindsight, it would probably make a better movie.
Yeah, I actually have to agree with that a little bit.
So even though the guy was nuts, it still would have been a better movie. Anyway, moving on. What were we talking about? Somebody else. Hey, Michael Bailey, you had something you wanted to bring up.
Yeah. Let me.
Speaking of Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers Entertainment is apparently going to launch. Supposedly something called T-Works, which has a logo which features...
It has nothing to do with bags.
or Mr. T and the T-Force, thank God.
No, that would be cool.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, apparently, it's going to be what they refer to as a cross-divisional and company-wide initiative designed to take the Warner Brothers' wealth of animated characters and properties and stuff that they chill beyond the media where, you know, beyond television, beyond home video, and making it fully accessible to the online world. In addition, it's kind of funny, the stuff they want to to have is that it will have immersive virtual worlds where users interact with each other and assume a cartoon identity based on... So basically, it's going to be like Second Life, but you can be a cartoon character. And there's going to be a video channel featuring hours of Warner Brothers animation, like Looney Tunes, Batman Beyond, original made-for-broadband animated short-form series, which they actually tried a couple years ago with a Harley and Ivy series, if I remember correctly. And apparently, the Flintstones is now owned by Warner Brothers, so they'll be there. I don't really consider them Warner Brothers, though. But anyways, a personalization channel to serve all aspects of fans' digital lives, from customizing social networking profiles, portable widgets, desktop applications, and more. A game channel, and this is the one that kind of makes me a little nervous, a video mashup maker, where people can create and share with the world their own cartoon remixes. And of course, there's going to be a young person's area where they can watch baby Looney Tunes, which sucks.
Now the mashup area, don't we already have Adult Swim? Why would we need another?
Do we really need a new venue for anime-esque music videos?
Oh, I'm just asking, how about, can someone say vaporware?
Well, what I think this all translates to, and I was listening to you read the bits out of the press release there, or at least it sounded like bits out of the press release, if not, well done. I can just see a bunch of executives at Warner Brothers sitting around going, all right, we've got all this lunatic stuff that nobody wants. How can we push it? I know. Let's put Buzz Bunny and Company on the internet. This is great. So you can mash up anything you want as long as it's lunatics, you know? Lunatics and, I don't know, anything.
Oh, Freakamaniacs. Or Freakamaniac. What the heck is it? Freakazoid.
Freakamaniacs?
Freakazoid was actually a really good
There's your first mashup. The Animaniacs with Freakazoid.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant Animaniacs and Freakonomics, which would have been really interesting.
I wonder what song they would use to, you know how they did the states and they did the world, the countries of the world? What would they do for Freakonomic principles? Wow.
What the?
I don't know, Scott. You've just, I guess that would be the pinnacle of the geek rhetorical question.
Yep.
My head just exploded. Cool. Speaking of my head exploding, there is a confirmation now of a G.I. Joe movie, as if you didn't expect it to be coming anytime soon. Stephen Sommers, who's famous for such great hits as Van Helsing, The Mummy Returns, The Mummy.
No.
Will be directing G.I. Joe, the first live action.
My childhood, you bastard.
I'm gonna draw the fire again and say that I rather liked Van Helsing. So,
dear God, who are you? You and Sterling.
Who are you, and what have you done with our friend? Stake him quickly.
Anybody got any hope for what's the point of doing a G.I. Joe film? I understand. Besides cash.
In all honesty, I think a G.I. Joe film could work. Unfortunately, you know, it's kind of sad to say, but this is kind of like one of those projects that maybe Michael Bay and Jerry Bruckheimer should do, because at least then it will be big, loud, and flashy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, a couple years ago, a friend of mine and I sat around and kind of kicked around what a good G.I. Joe film would be. And if you make it a really good action film, then it would be well worth making. Because then you have a good action film and the nostalgic factor of watching that animated series where they were the most highly trained anti-terrorist task force on the planet and couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if they tried.
So,
The what?
Do you go crazy with it, though? As in, do you have the outlandish costumes? Do you have the bizarre technology that was in? And do you have everyone wearing a parachute, whether they're in a Jeep or a plane?
No, well, you see, the thing is, the thing about Cobra, at least, is that they lend themselves very visually in a live-action form. That's kind of a militaristic uniform. I don't know if you could have Gung Ho going into battle with, you know, in a pair of camouflage pants and a vest, looking like he's about to hit, like, the white swallow right after, you know, the fight's over. But... you know, yeah, I can't
wait to see Sergeant Slaughter and William the Refrigerator Perry joining the fight.
No, but you know, Cobra Commander is a good, especially in the hood, is a good visual image that would translate well to live action, I think. Destro might be a little hard to pull off, but I always figured that if you were going to have Destro, you should have Jonathan Pryce play him, and Kevin Spacey should definitely be Cobra Commander, but that's just me.
My thing is, when I was thinking about it, I think we discussed this before when we discussed, like, movies for casting for, like, the Avengers and some of the other group films. How do you get a cast that it's the problem they have with the X-Men? I mean, you're going to have some star complain they're not getting enough screen time. You have to balance out, you know, who's going to be, how much screen time people are going to get. I don't know how they can handle the logistics.
Well, that's why you do it the way they don't really do movies in Hollywood anymore, and you do unknown actors and actresses.
And if not you do only that,
it's the story, it's not the actors and actresses.
I mean, it's like this with G.I. Joe, it's not like Transformers, because with G.I. Joe, you need to have Duke, Scarlet,
Snake Eyes.
You got to definitely have Snake Eyes. And, you know, those are the main, and Stalker maybe.
Yep.
And those are the main Joes you need to have. And as far as Cobra, you don't need to get into Crystal Ball and Crocmaster and Raptor or whatever the hell his name was. You know, you need to stick with Cobra Commander, Destro, Tomax and Zaymot, and Storm Shadow. And the Crimson Guard.
The Baroness?
Oh, well, how could I? Yeah, that's kind of, how could I forget Patty Hearst? I mean... No, I'm serious. That's who Larry Hama based that on.
I know. I hadn't thought about that in so long. Well, I think what you could do, I think the idea is, what you need is the best of both worlds. If you're going to attack this from like a Dreamcasting perspective, I think what you would do is you would ground it with some big name actors for your Destro and your Cobra Commander. You know, the Jonathan Pryce doing the voice of Destro and Kevin Spacey's Cobra Commander is really sweet, by the way. And you would get what? Oh, anyway,
I said thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. But you could also do something where, you know, you've got yourself a Duke who's a known quantity from maybe. But in what was it? The new G.I. Joe comic book. They've actually brought back the original G.I. Joe guy as like this general who is running the whole show. So you could have that be your Sean Connery or whoever else who's going to be your A-list talent, and then you could have unknowns playing everybody else. So
and I always thought that Denzel Washington would make a kick-ass Stalker, and that Bruce Willis would make a great Hawk, personally.
Hawk, yes.
Bruce Willis would make a good Hudson Hawk, I think.
Oh, Hudson Hawk is one of the best movies ever made.
All right, moving along.
How can you not like Hudson Hawk? I'm dead serious.
Let me count the ways.
I think G.I. Joe is just going to be too big for them to handle.
Well, for them to handle smartly. I think you could actually do it, and you could actually pull it off if you were smart about it. But Hollywood does so little that's smart these days. I just can't imagine it happening, you know.
Speaking of things that may or may not have been smart, let's see. We got David S. Goyer doing Supermax. Of course, his next project is actually Magneto. He's writing and directing, and he's going to do Supermax. Anybody got any thoughts on this gem of a movie?
I honestly believe that Warner Brothers should really start shoring up their better known properties like Green Lantern and Flash and Wonder Woman and Ambush Bug. And no, just kidding on that one. But
Ambush Bug rocks.
I know, but I don't think he could carry a film.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know. Our best laid plans and dreams shattered like
as
so many
always.
Others. Anyway, yeah. But I, you know, it's an interesting concept. I think it's dropping Green Arrow into a supervillain prison. But basically, this would make an awesome comic book miniseries, I think. But I don't think it would make a film where people would go, hey, I want to go see that at the film because I know so much about these characters. You can sell Green Lantern and Flash visually, especially Green Lantern with the CGI effects you can pull off. You can sell Wonder Woman based on a theme song. But I don't think...
And breasts.
And the breasts. I don't think you could go, hey, there's a villain named the Icicle, and he fought the Justice Society, and people would be like, yeah, that's nice. I just think it's a bad move, personally.
Yeah,
and prison movies haven't really done all that well recently. Regardless, I mean, admittedly, it's a super villain prison, but still, I mean, it's not really of a genre that's particularly marketable nowadays.
Michael Bailey, you want to bring everyone up to speed real quick on what the what Supermax is actually supposed to be about?
Yeah, give me just a second here.
Okay, sorry, I put you on the spot there. I believe it's Green Arrow, right?
Yeah, I believe it's Green Arrow. It's going to be... Here we go. Green Arrow getting put into prison and being out of costume for most of the movie, so... That I think would even be a harder sell, but apparently it's more for like sort of like the third tier DC villains where I mean Goyer says most people will recognize them. I will recognize them, and maybe if you really really paid attention to Justice League Unlimited you might catch a few, but it seems I just don't think this is going to work at all. I mean, just dropping Green Arrow into the middle of a prison and having him fight his way out. I mean, yeah, that works for Tango and Cash, but I don't think it'll work for here.
You know, I was just thinking, didn't Jean-Claude Van Damme make this movie?
Yeah, there you go.
There was another guy. It was called Fortress. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
And then they did Fortress 2, and that was kind of cool. And then, of course, there was Battle Royale.
Is that not
the Japanese.
At all that way.
But they're making a Magneto movie?
Yes, they are.
Is there a Magneto comic book where it's just Magneto stories are being told? Or is he more of a foil for the X-Men?
Well, he was a foil, but bear in mind that he is an X-Men character, which means that he is subject to having a limited series pop up at any given time.
Yeah, Marvel. Somebody has it in the contract at Marvel that, you know, you have to have an X-Men in their own limited series or a villain, whatever, at least fortnightly. So, right.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about with the Magneto movie is his goals are so global. How can he do an entire movie without bringing out some of the other X-Men to stop him?
It's not about the current Magneto, though. It's about his history. And how he met Charles Xavier. It's basically a year one story where we see, him in the concentration camp, and then coming out of that and meeting Charles. And I think if they do it right,
it's a biopic for a comic book villain.
Yeah,
that sounds interesting. Okay,
I think if you do it right, you will have him walking the same path as Xavier. And maybe getting to that point where he completely agrees with Charles, and then something traumatic happens, and he's like, no, this is completely wrong. You're wrong, Charles. You want to live with these people. That's fine. I'm going to save my own. So,
he took that left at Albuquerque.
Yes.
Well, that sounds like a much more interesting movie than... Well, and I don't know. Supermax prison movies, those are kind of cool if you get the characters right and a lot of action and
in the end, despite having written the Generation X and Nick Fury telefilms in addition to Kickboxer 2, David Goyer does have a lot of street cred as far as doing comic book properties, having written all three and directed the last Blade film. or the Night Stalkers in Blade film. And he wrote Batman Begins, which was the best Batman film to date, in my opinion.
Well, that's true enough.
That's the most recent one that came out.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really good. That was really good. You know that last Blade movie? That was a pretty decent movie, except for that one scene where the woman was on the table and she was like doing some sort of act or her speech or something. That was a horrible scene with that woman.
Ryan totally Reynolds
took it out of that.
Ryan Reynolds pretty much walked off with that film as soon as he was introduced.
And that's saying something.
Again, another actor that I like that apparently Scott hates.
He really wants to be the Flash, by the way, in that Justice League movie, which I think would work if they do the Wally West version of the character.
I agree with you there, yes.
Assuming the movie happens.
Yeah, got my doubts about that one.
Yeah, we discussed this actually at one of the DragonCon panels. It's just going to be another World's Finest, I think.
Huh.
Good. Because I'd rather, like I said, get these people in their own films before bringing them all together.
Yeah, I mean, why would you do that? I mean, if you're that desperate to stop the Jack Black Green Lantern movie from happening, fine.
Oh, but, God.
Yeah, I know. but otherwise, it's like, you know, if nothing else, give them their own prop. Why would you spend them all on one film? You know, it just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, Mark Hamill made a good point about the World's Finest movie when it was in the rumor mill is, well, that's a great way to kill two properties. And that's the same with this. If the Justice League movie fails, you have not only killed a Justice League franchise, but any character who was in that. I mean, I really and truly believe, and Ghost Rider notwithstanding, that the superhero film genre, so to speak, is one really colossal flop away from making everybody nervous. Superman Returns scared people enough. Oops. Or scared executives enough.
Oh, yeah, they had every reason to be scared from the get-go, seeing as how I think, you know, I don't even think they broke even once you factor in all the stuff like Tim Burton's Pear Play contract.
Yeah,
Cage's Pair Play content. I mean, you have to factor that in because that's all development costs. But I mean,
what is that?
I'm sorry, what?
What the Pair Play contract?
Pair Play. Basically, whether the movie gets made or not, they get paid. Nice, huh?
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. It's good work if you can get it.
And that got factored into Superman Returns' budget. All of the... I mean, Tim Burton spent, like, what was it? $10 million on pre-production?
At least.
Or something. And that got factored into the budget. Plus, you know, except for certain shots where it looked like really good video game animatics, Superman Returns had some pretty decent special effects. And all of the crap they did, while not exciting, must have cost a exorbitant amount of money.
Oh, it did. It did.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that we should bear in mind. You mentioned Ghost Rider again. And we've talked about this for years in our Dragon Con panels, Need Coffee Dragon Con panels. Is it...
Needcoffee.com.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like the first time I've mentioned it. Come on. Jeez Louise. Anyway, Ghost Rider serves a very valuable... service for all of us in that it gives Nicolas Cage his comic book movie that he's been trying to be in for years and years and years, and now I think he's maybe got it out of his system since they're going to do a Ghost Rider 2 since the thing actually made money. So
what?
It made
well,
money.
Okay,
they've got a gift set coming out. Come on.
The thing to remember with Ghost Rider making money is that In all, superhero movies are not made for comic book fans. They are made for the general public to come in. And I think that's one of the reasons why Superman Returns failed, is because Bryan Singer made a very personal, pensive, emotionally driven film. And I think the average Joe Blow moviegoer just wanted to see Superman fight and punch through a wall. He didn't want to
see Kevin Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to go beyond your normal fan base in another medium, because otherwise I mean, it's like I was telling somebody the other day, if all you needed was a good fan base, a Serenity 2 would be hitting cinemas this Christmas.
If only that were true.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Yeah, I really like Serenity. See? No.
Shh.
Okay, I'm really uncomfortable with how you just did that. I mean, that's like a prison shh. I mean,
Stop crying so I can finish.
Oh,
Adam just got here.
Hot talent for everybody.
That was the special sneak preview of Supermax.
Wow.
I think you broke my webcam. Okay. Anyway.
Speaking of which, isn't there an Iron Man teaser trailer supposedly hitting soon?
Ooh, yeah! Speaking of trailers, there's the Iron Man teaser trailer hitting on the 10th, I believe it is. And actually, what's that, tomorrow? No, it's not tomorrow. That's Monday, right?
Yeah.
It's Monday.
The 10th is Monday.
Yeah, there's the teaser trailer's coming out, and also... Scott had sent this in, which was there was the trailer for why the heck are they making this movie Aliens vs. Predator 2?
Because it's Aliens vs. Predator 2, man. That's because why they're making it.
It also made money.
What was somebody saying about killing two franchises at once?
Yeah.
I reviewed this. I know. I reviewed this on needcoffee.com, and I know.
He did that.
But it made money. And therefore, they're going to make a sequel.
What's hilarious is, for all intents and purposes, both of those franchises were dead at the time, so you're just basically walking around kicking their corpses. It's awesome.
You know, in all honesty...
You're going to tell me you liked it, didn't you?
Who?
You know... Oh, in all seriousness, I thought Aliens vs. Predator was the best trailer I saw that year.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the trailer was great. I know. The trailer looks amazing.
The trailer lied.
I know. And the trailer for this one looks great. I mean, there's just... But I keep having to tell myself, trailer lied. It's going to suck.
The trailer for Highlander 2 looked fantastic as well.
Oh,
God! Ow! Ooh!
Ow!
They put that. What's the name of that music that they always put behind the trailers that make you think that it's the best music in the world? That dun 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 dun.
In all honesty, there's actually a piece from Aliens that got used over and over and over again in like every action trailer.
Oh yeah!
From about 1998 to yesterday.
I think that was like a law that it had to be used.
Who's excited about the Iron Man movie? I'm actually thinking it might not be too bad.
Actually, at Dragon Con, at the Marvel versus DC panel, while they were getting set up, they showed like the really grainy preview thing that was at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen a room light up with anticipation like that in a very long time. And I got to tell you, I couldn't really see it that well, and it still looked awesome.
But can you sell that to the masses? I mean, because you're like a preacher in church there. Preaching
that,
to the choir.
But at the same time, I mean, it's explosions. It's a dude in a suit of armor.
Lying around.
But it's not directed by Michael Bay.
Here's the thing to bear in mind is that was specifically footage, if I understand it, that was edited and created for Comic-Con. So it was aimed at those folks. Now, what you'll probably see when the teaser comes out is something that's, like you were saying, more geared to keep the fan base in, but also to draw in everyone else. But no, that 5 minute or so preview was specifically for geeks, and it works.
Well, speaking of previews and NBC doing something right, at least we talked about this for a second earlier, but the NBC moved over to Amazon Unbox. So basically it will play on no players and they're selling their shows at $4.99 a piece, which we already discussed. But on excuse me, September 10th, you will be allowed to download for free the pilot episodes of Bionic Woman, Chuck, Journeyman, and Life. And actually, you know, this worked last year for Heroes and got a lot of buzz going for going up to the premieres. And I actually like this. I like the idea of NBC, ABC, like the broadcast networks or any network releasing at least their pilot episodes free of charge to get, you know, a little bit of hype going in advance and get people, you know, tuning in. Any thoughts on this, guys?
It's great advertising. I mean, I'm probably not going to be downloading them, but if I was one to do that, I would definitely want to at least check out what they have. I mean, I'm going to watch The Bionic Woman anyways, based on what I've seen. But, you know, if you want to get people excited about your shows, especially NBC, which will actually try to cultivate an audience, unlike certain other networks owned by Rupert Murdoch, which will cancel a show after halfway through the initial episode, I think.
I just at think, the 25 minute mark.
The 25 minute mark. What's the ratings on this? Well, somebody changed to watch Shaft, so I think we should pull the plug on this one. Anytime a channel, a network, or a movie studio does something for free, I think of it as crass, you know, trying to get an, you know, just trying to promote your product. But at the same time, there's not all that much wrong with that if it's free.
Well, and the other thing to bear in mind is, I think, and this goes with the Warner Brothers cartoons being online as well, they're finally very slowly waking up to the fact that this stuff is going to be online, whether it's sanctioned or not. I mean, they can either put it online under their terms, or someone will upload it to BitTorrent under someone else's terms. So at least by releasing it themselves under a, you know, a sanctioned format, they're putting it out there when they want it to be out there.
This is very true. Oops. Sorry, my dog needed attention.
I thought you fell down a well.
Like baby Jessica.
That's actually a very good point, Widge, because you're right. They better start accepting that at some point that they can't just keep suing everybody and they expect to have an audience in the end if everyone's in jail.
All the lawyers.
Well,
this
is true.
They need to keep up their Porsche payments.
Is this the same system?
Go ahead.
Is this the same system that Amazon's using for their movie? Where
yes.
You can download a movie. So basically, because in that system, if you change your computer or you just, you know, don't want to use their system anymore, all your movies basically go away.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah, everything. I've not tried it myself, but everything I've read about it sounds nightmarish.
Well, it doesn't support iPod, so you've cut out 80% of the market to begin with. So, you know. I don't understand. I understand what NBC is doing. I don't understand that, but I do like that. I do like them putting the shows out in advance, getting some buzz going. And they did this. I don't know if it was done intentionally with Battlestar Galactica, but no one really fought back with it, and it seemed to work out okay for Battlestar Galactica.
I think it was unofficially leaked.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if. NBC thinks it's big enough that it can boost Amazon service to the level of iTunes. You know, they're trying to get in on the ground floor so they don't have to deal with, they can deal with Amazon will be more pliant to their suggestions than Steve Jobs.
Does Amazon, so Amazon and NBC, they're not like joined at the hip, or they are joined at the hip, or they're trying to be joined at the hip?
I think they're trying.
They're not owned by another? I mean, Amazon's not owned by NBC.
No, Amazon is their own thing, but
okay.
Doing this like strategic partnership deal, you know, right. They're trying to create another service that could be a rival to iTunes, because iTunes really is it. So I think maybe they think they're big enough with their properties that they can create a service that may be a rival.
Yeah, but
I think you're onto something there about trying to get somebody to bend to their wishes a little bit more than Steve Jobs, who won't bend to anybody's wishes but his own. But hey, it's worked out for him. So I think that's part of it. But as far as it, as far as to iTunes, I mean, we were talking about the you know, everybody gets really bent out of shape about DRM on iTunes and their DRM free thing, which is a premium cost. But from what I've read about the Amazon Unbox service, it makes the iTunes DRM look like, you know, nothing. So,
well, they don't. Well, NBC doesn't care about DRM. That's not their concern. It's the concern is having somebody who's a bit more interested, a bit more open on price, pricing.
Yeah, that's willing to charge $5 an episode,
which is ridiculous.
True enough.
That is wow.
So
who marketed? Who priced that out?
They did when they said, "Oh, you know what? We'd like to make an extra $4 a episode, or $3 an episode, I guess, what they would make."
Wow.
You know, that's crazy. That's just how it works. So,
I'm wondering though if they're saying $5, but it's like when you negotiate, you start like a ridiculously high price.
If you go to Amazon Unbox, it's $5 an episode.
Well, I know, but they're going to start there. But then, if it really doesn't work out, they'll start coming down. It's like negotiation. You know, you start with a ridiculously high.
You can haggle on Amazon? Awesome.
Well, it won't be. I think later on, when they start really doing this and these things, that they're not getting nearly the business they think they're going to get, they'll start saying, "Oh yeah, we're at $4 now, or $3, or whatever."
It'll go on sale, and they'll see how many people purchase it at the sale price, and that'll help them readjust.
Well, you know, if you do buy the full season, you can get a full 30% discount. So,
oh,
so now it's only $70 for a season, as opposed to the $30 if you bought the DVD.
Right, which I could almost get the entirety of MASH for.
All right. Well, you know what, guys? I think that's going to do it for this week. Let me go around the horn and see if there's anything that anybody really wanted to pimp or discuss further. Hey, Michael Bailey of Views from the Long Box. Where can they find Views from the Long Box, by the way?
Views from the Long Box can most easily be found at viewsfromthelongbox.blogspot.com. That's where I have, that's kind of like the home base for the show. I've also recently, I've just actually finished up with the fourth installment of the weekly column of Views from the Long Box, which you can find at comicstream.com. I actually
spell that for us.
The what?
Spell that for us.
comicstreme.com.
Okay.
And I just got back from being off for 2 weeks because of Dragon Con and vacation. With what I'm sure is a hopelessly boring episode about comic shops, and next week should be a little more exciting.
Awesome. All right, Scott, what do you got?
Well, let's see. Well, as always, needcoffee.com. We've just switched over we're now a social network at needcoffee.ning.com, so check us out there. We're also doing sort of a recap of Dragon Con and all the stuff that went on there, so check us out.
All right, Sterling, you had something you wanted to bring up besides Newbards Press, newbardspress.com.
Yes, thank you very much for that. Actually, I did a little marketing campaign at Dragon Con, and I got two new users, so I'm really excited and happy about that.
Yay.
But I want to talk about this new video game that's coming out called BioShock.
And actually, wait, that would be two new authors, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome, because there's a lot of cool stories over there. Anyway, go ahead.
BioShock is this new video game that's come out that it's a first-person shooter role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the graphics are very, very exciting. But what's more interesting about the game is you basically augment yourself you augment weapons, but basically you augment yourself and get to choose what sort of powers you use. And depending on how you do that, every fight becomes different. So there's a boss guy, and your character can take him out like with electricity by shooting water on the ground and taking them out. But another guy who doesn't have that ability has to find a completely new way to fight this big bad.
So have you been playing it, or?
I have not been playing it, but I've been looking at it online and a lot, and looking at a lot of the trailers that people have been coming out with on YouTube and things like that. And it looks very, very exciting.
One of the interesting things is that it uses, it bases itself on the Ayn Rand philosophy a great deal.
I mean, it's based on a utopia.
Yeah,
Under the water.
It uses a, I think it's Andrew Randall or something like that. But that's very interesting that they use that for the basis of the game.
Because there's more to it. Like I said, it is a role-playing game, first-person shooter, and there's a lot of mystery going on with why are the things happening the way they are? Because there are these little things called little sisters, and there's these little girls that walk around. And they're like collecting the blood or the serum from dead bodies and corpses in the city. And they're protected by these huge, giant mechanical creatures called Big Daddies. And it's a very interesting video game. So definitely give it a shot. It looks like it'll be changing the face of first person shooters.
All right. Awesome. And because we haven't had one of these today,
no one cares, Sterling.
Anyway,
that was great. Thanks.
Hey, you're welcome. And of course, our special guest, Widge from Daily Kicksplode, right?
Yes. Well, that implies that Scott's taken over Need Coffee. Has the coup happened, Scott? You bastard!
Are you kidding? I don't want to take over. I don't want to run this madhouse.
Yeah, and
always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Exactly.
In addition to Need Coffee, we have spawned a couple other sites, dailykicksplode.com, which is, daily kick and splode, S-P-L-O-D-E, which basically once a day has either somebody getting kicked in the face or stuff being blown up, which really is, you know, we found a niche that we felt wasn't being filled enough on the internet, which is mindless violence. So... We try to give everybody a wonderful way to start their day. Every day at 8 a.m., you can log on to dailykicksplode.com and just go, thank you, I needed that. So,
and of course, Need Coffee. How long has Need Coffee been around?
Need Coffee has been around in some form or fashion for about 10 years.
Wow.
Oh, dear God.
Yes, and that's why I have so much gray in my beard.
And you're only like 22, aren't you?
Yes, that's right. I am 22 years old this year. In fact, I started it when I was 12. Yeah, and I don't sound 22 because that's what being a webmaster has done. It's aged the hell out of me.
Any other sites you have out there that you want people to visit?
Oh, sure. Basically, my own blog is at widgetwalls.com, which I update whenever I feel like it. And
about as often as you update the Weekend Justice, but go on.
You know, it's sad that you got to that jab before I could jab myself with it, because I was about to. And also my new blog about everything black, colorsareoverrated.com, because, you know, everything I wear is black, almost everything I own is black. Here's my black fan, my black laptop.
I have seen the black refrigerator.
Scott can vouch for my black fridge, my black dishwasher. It's just so much easier when everything goes together. You don't have to worry about colors matching. It's just because I have no fashion sense, and Scott can attest to that as well.
Why is it always about race with you?
Because I'm trying to run faster.
Oh, boy.
John, might I add, that's a very stylish Golden Age Green Lantern shirt you're wearing.
Thank you. I was hoping someone would admire it. Anyway, okay, and as always, check out the discussions over at The Unique Geek, and just Google it, or go to theuniquegeek.com, and we got Dragon Con pictures up, and if you're going to watch the video, I promise it'll be a lot more interesting for the Dragon Con episode. We'll be doing a slideshow as we go along, so check out The Unique Geek, and click on the gallery, and you can see the new... You can see the pictures from Dragon Con from this year. So Shag took about 400 and uploaded, I think, all 400. So,
yeah, Shag stalked many a person. I was with him for a while.
Yeah, who was it on the discussion forum? It was Esgul, right? That was complaining about people stopping crowds by taking pictures, and I was like, well deliberately talking about Shag.
That's pretty much a Dragon Con regular thing, though. Yeah. I mean,
it's a topic for our special edition of the Unique Geek Dragon Con Rewind. So, all right. Anyway,
Rewind.
I guess we'll be seeing you then. And let's see, this should be coming out in 2010. And next week we will have a new Weekend Justice from Widge. Anyway.
I'm so glad you're plugging my podcast. I can just sit back and let Scott and you guys do all the advertising for me. This is sweet.
All right, folks. I hope you've enjoyed, and talk to you next time.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. Visit us at theuniquegeek.com. You can reach the geeks by calling 813-579-3542. Send your comments, complaints, and story ideas via email to thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Join our list by going to groups.google.com/group/theuniquegeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike license. Peace out.